That had to be an angel. Yeah. Yeah. All right, go ahead. Okay. Okay. Anybody else? Right now? No. What were you saying? First, Frankie, what did you say? No. Okay. You haven't had kids in your house so long that your eyes in the back of your head weren't working. So when Bethany started, you couldn't see her. No, you're fine. You're fine. Okay. All right. Bethany, what'd you say? Yeah, because we bury Roy on, he's a year older than me. We bury Roy Thursday. So remember that, the family. And that's just been a big shock around there because that was not expected at all. You know? This Tuesday coming up. Well, let me know where and I'll be there with you. Well, y'all let me know, both of y'all, and I'll be right there with you. They do it there now instead of going to the hospital. But you'll be at the hospital. Okay, well, y'all just let me know because I'll be there. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace, your mercy. We thank you for everything you've ever done for us, God. We thank you for what you're about to do. Lord, as many sick people, Father, they need your hand, Lord. They need your guidance. They need your direct intervention. Lord, there's those that are hurting right now. They need your intervention. Minister, Father, mightily to each and every person here this night. You know the need. You're more than able. Touch children. Lord, touch families. We thank you for what you're about to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The church said, amen. Yes, ma'am. Oh, yeah, announcement. Okay. Okay. All right, we're coming to an end here shortly on this Who is God. This has been a very enlightening and awesome Bible study. And every time I do this stuff like this, I learn more and more and more, and it's just awesome. We talked about the four ways God by which God reveals himself, and that we talked about through creation, and we talked about through conscience. Now we're going to talk about through communication. This is actually a two-parter, but it's so long I didn't want to, you know, cut in so strong. So communication is two parts. This is part one. Part two will be next week. And again, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And there's four ways that he reveals himself. If God is truly knowledgeable, and he is, if God is truly knowledgeable, and he is, the question we need to ask is, how can we come to know him? God has revealed facts about himself and his nature in different ways so that we can know him. And what are these ways? We talked about creation. We talked about conscience. Now we're going to talk about communication. This is a two-parter. So this week is going to be through personal revelation. And remember, personal revelation to us, there's times where God really speaks to us. You know it's him. It's usually through your conscience. But again, you got to take all this together, because it could be through creation and your conscience when he does a direct personal revelation. So you got to remember this now. But you see, if you don't know God and don't know his word, you might not catch it when he's talking to you. So you got to listen. You got to know his word. It's like if I spoke Chinese, and I was speaking to y'all, and y'all did not know Chinese, you wouldn't know. I could be telling you, watch out. There's something falling from the sky. It's going to crush you. You need to move. But if I'm talking to you in Chinese, you're not going to know. But if you learn Chinese, and you don't have to learn all of it, just enough to know, I think he's telling us to move. Okay? The same way with God. He's trying to talk to us, and I'm not talking about Christianese. You know, we know the right words to say to sound holy and all that. I'm talking about you know his word enough that when he's speaking to you, know it's him. It's not some joke, or it's not some just your talk. You know, well, something told me. People all the time talk about something told me to move. Something told me to do this. Something. That something is the Holy Spirit through your conscience and or direct revelation. So personal revelation can be through your conscience. It can also be through the rhema word, which we'll talk about next week. But here it is, again, a form of rhema word. When God was speaking directly to somebody, the Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His word was on my tongue. And this is David. He's talking about the Psalms. He's dying. But he's talking about that. Now, these are the last words of David. The David, son of Jesse, said, the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel says, the Spirit of the Lord spoke in and by me, and his word was upon my tongue. The God of Israel spoke, the Rock of Israel said to me, when one rules over men righteously, ruling in the fear of God. And it goes on and on and on. So this is David's last words. But again, David knew there's no way to write all those Psalms without God talking through him. If it wasn't God talking through him, then it's just a bunch of words. It's just some poems. But it actually, remember talking about your brain vomit your brain up, but brain vomit Sunday? That's what David did. Whenever David was in trouble, instead of letting it destroy him, he would have a brain puke. He would sit down, and instead of rehearsing the problem over and over again, he would write down what the problem was, and he did in the Psalms. If you read the Psalms, usually he starts with a problem and he ends with something. A problem ends with a promise fulfilled. And the way it is, because he has a brain puke, is he goes up, and he takes this information that's driving him crazy, he writes it down, and then he puts down the promises of God. If we can learn to do that, we will quit being terrorized by by things that don't need to terrorize us. We've got to learn to have a brain puke Write down the stuff that's driving us crazy, and then put down what God's word says about it. Then the next time you feel that, you see that, I was talking to somebody not long ago, and I said, you know what? They were having a problem, and I told them they're having a problem with depression, and I said, you know what? The problem right now is you won't quit talking about it to yourself. Here's what you got to do. You can't stop yourself from thinking, okay? But you can change your thoughts. So, in my problems, if I'm always thinking, it'll never work, it'll never work, it'll never work, I'm no good, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, you know, I think I'll eat some worms for breakfast, you know, just constant like that, then what happens is you get your mind programmed to that and you stay depressed. And that's a constant feed up because once you put it in there, it just rolls and rolls and rolls and rolls. So what you do is you take it, have a brain puke, write it down, like David did in the Psalms, write it down, and then write the truth about it. I am wonderfully and fearfully made. God doesn't make junk. God knew me from my inside and my out. And you write this stuff down, and as you start replacing it with good stuff, the bad stuff will eventually go back. It was one of the greatest things I ever learned early in my Christian walk was to recite God's word about my problems. It helped me so much in my fearful times. So, here it is. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is. Okay. The Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His word was on my tongue. 2 Samuel 23 and 2. God has revealed himself in a general way through creation. Through an imprint on our inner being, our conscience, we would still not know who he is without more revelation. Without a personal knowledge of God, man would eventually try to worship that which is not the one true God. I've had people try to get me and say, and they'll even come up to me and go, well, this is what so-and-so said. I remember when I was in EMT class. I had been out of church for quite some time, and I hadn't quite got back in it yet, and there was some Mormons in there in my EMT class. And so knowing he was a Mormon, and I didn't know anything other than, you know, y'all guys seem to be pretty cool. I mean, you ride bicycles and ride around in white ties and white shirts and ties. Y'all pretty cool. And he starts telling me things that are not in the Bible. And I believed him. And then when I started reading the Bible, I said, that's not there. It's not there. Okay? So, again, God has communicated through personal revelation. Now I wrote down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 examples. And I'm gonna tell you, there these six times where he actually gets personal revelation, there's something they all have in common. And what they have in common is it has to do with judgment. Every last one of them has something to do with judgment. So I reckon the Lord's saying, okay, I want to make sure you get this clear. I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. Your ears aren't flapping. A train didn't go by. I didn't stutter. I want you to hear what I've got to say. So again, personal revelation. He tells Adam, and the Lord commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden. Is that where it stops? Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Wait a minute. Except from the what? Do not eat from it. The moment you eat from that tree, you're a dead man. He did not die. When he did it, he did not die physically. But he died spiritually that day. He broke his relationship, his personal talk with God. Like I was saying, I'm fine. I'm just sitting trying to fast. I'm going to get him some worms, and I'm going to get him something. That's right. That's right. All right, so look. So again, he gave him direct warning. Then we think, well, Eve went along and the snake got Eve, and then Eve come and got Adam. No, the Bible said that he was right there. Yeah. And so he did like most guys. You know, she said eat, and I said, yes, ma'am. Yeah. And so again, so watch this. So Adam, the warning was, if you do this, you will prevent judgment in your life. And he didn't realize that he was going to bring judgment down on the entire generation of man. Wow. The entire generation of man. Can you imagine? Wow. And so you got to think about these things. You got to look at these things. You know, when you do something, you don't necessarily know who you're going to affect, but Adam and Eve affected everyone. Now, number two. Again, this is pronouncing judgment. Cain, he had killed his brother. Of course, I told you I like Archie Bunker's theology. I like to hear, I know it weren't real, but I like to hear him say it because I want to see what he's coming up with next. And one day he said, you know he said he killed Abel with a cane. You know, okay. Well, see, the Bible says, and the Lord said to Cain, this is before he killed him, okay? God doesn't accept his sacrifice. And God, the reason he accepted, and here's the reason why. His was from the field. Why wouldn't God accept his from the field? And why did he accept Abel's? Well, the difference is, Abel actually was doing the first fruit. I mean, Abel was doing the blood. He was doing shedding innocent blood for his sin. It was a sin offering. He shed innocent blood. And Cain instead brought forth stuff from the field. Now, so one was actually, when it's time to get saved, that's what people do all the time. Listen to this carefully. There's a lot of Cains going around trying to buy their salvation. If I do enough, if I give enough, whatever, then God will be pleased with me and I'll have my salvation. Okay? But Abel offered an innocent lamb. So here we go. He says, why are you angry and why do you look sad and depressed and dejected? He said, if you do well, will not you be accepted? Your sacrifice be accepted? If you do not do well, sin crouches at your door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it. And so instead of, it was a warning. It was a warning of judgment. But within the next few verses, it became judgment. Because he went, got his brother, carried him out, and killed him. Wow. So, again, judgment. Number three, Noah. God warned him of judgment coming and told him how to get out of it. He said, so God said to Noah, he says, I intend to make an end of all flesh. For through men the land is filled with violence, and behold, I will destroy them and the land. Make yourself an ark of gopher and cypress wood. Make it in rooms, stalls, pens, coops, nests, cages, compartments, and cover it inside and out with pitch. And then he tells him how big to make it. He said, I want you to make it 450 foot long, 75 foot high, and 45 foot wide. It took him 120 years to make it. You know why? Because he didn't have the stuff we got. 120 years. You hear what Stephen said? I said it took him 120 years. He said, yeah, but they came in under budget, their own budget. Right, here we go again. We got him. Now, here he goes. Well, y'all tag teaming tonight. Which one's Jerry and which one's Louis? Which one's Rowan and Martin? Rowan and Martin or Lewis and I'm Mo? Yeah, you're Larry. He's Curly. I'm Mo. Okay. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Teak wood. Teak wood. Oh, that the art was virtually, it was stronger in its day than the Titanic was. But there were, I'm not sure if they had any icebergs. But you know what? You know why the Titanic sank? God, and he said, God can't sink this. You don't ever tell God what he can't do. That's right. Yeah. Him and his three sons. Larry, Curly, and Mo. Him, him, Shim, and, I mean, yeah. Good Lord, I can't. No. The reason, no, and the Bible just says that the people were so corrupt. The Bible says in the New Testament that he and his family were the only holy ones there at the time. The rest of them just, you know, they just loved the other stuff so much that these people, and not that, they got to remember something. I want you to think about something. Let me get up, stretch that leg. Look, I want you to remember something. He tells them that judgment's coming. Okay. But it's coming in the form of rain. Why are you building that big whatever it is? That's a boat. Why are you building the boat? Because it's going to rain. Watch rain. It had never rained, ever. The earth and the creation scientists have proven this. The earth had a greenhouse effect. And the moisture came up from the ground as a greenhouse effect. That's why guys lived so long, because it had a high oxygen content. And that's where the probably where the dinosaurs were able to do that, because of the high oxygen content. Well, so he's building his boat 120 years, and they're laughing at him. They're picking on him because the man has lost his gourd, because he says there's going to come something we've never seen before, and it's going to take us away if we're not prepared. He's lost his ever-loving mind. I can hear it now. Old Noah, his cheese has slipped off his cracker. And then God does something even better. Can you imagine all these animals coming? And it wasn't just two by two, because the clean animals, it was seven. You had to sacrifice. And so you got these clean animals coming up seven. You got the unclean animals two by two. They're coming up. They get in the ark. When they get in the ark, he says, y'all climb in. And the door stays open for 7 days. And people still don't get in there. Guess what? That's what we're living in, that 7 days of grace. Now, 7 days of grace. I always wanted to preach a sermon on it. I feel one coming now. But 7 days of grace. So the ark, the door's open. It's been built. Everything's taken care of. We're in that 7 days of grace. And when you get, look, then God shut the door. and then it was too late. Because then the heavens just poured out water, and it said, you know what? Maybe his cracker weren't so so cheeseless after all. Okay? The sad thing was, though, is after he'd been on that for, I forgot how many months he was on it at this moment, but it was quite some time that he was on this thing. And after he was on the ark, matter of fact, he said, now board the ship, come all your household on the ark, for I've seen your righteousness. Again, I've seen your up, I've seen you, I've seen all of this. And so again, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And these people had never even seen rain. And now they're getting there. And the flood waters lasted over 150 days. Wow. These people had never seen anything like this. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Noah was the biggest financier in the Bible. Because he floated every kind of animal there was for 5 months. Okay, so he's on the boat for 5 months, okay? When he gets off of the boat, first thing he does, he goes and gets drunk. And I thought, if I've been on that boat for 5 months with my family. And all those animals and no bathroom, I might try to go find me. Okay, so here we go. Now we're getting crazy. Now I've got Mo going out. Look, y'all see? Larry, Curly, and Mo. There we go. Okay, so now again, so he was trying to keep them, and he gave everybody a chance. It weren't like he said y'all gonna be the only ones, because he was preaching righteousness. He preached for 120 years. Get on the boat. It's going to rain. And they're going. A boat in rain. Okay. Like right now we're saying, get in God's house because we're getting ready to have a rapture. And then 7 years tribulation. And they're going, huh? But when the rapture takes place. Okay. So here we go. Yeah. Yeah. Talk about dry. Yeah. You been in some of those dry services that's so dry your leg goes to sleep and you get jealous? your leg goes to sleep and the rest of you gets jealous. I wish I could go to sleep right now. Okay, here we go. Then Abraham. Abraham, his promise was, listen, why I might ask y'all the question. Why was it so important for Abraham to have a godly, separated people? And you be quiet, Curly. And you be quiet, Larry. Okay. So, y'all two be quiet. Why was it important? Whoop, whoop, whoop. What? That's right. Why was it important that Abraham started? And remember, holy doesn't necessarily mean that you're dressed right and you look right. Holy means you're separated for a specific purpose. So now, why was it important for God to have Abraham and his people to be brought forth and stay holy, separated? Again, remember, holy and separated, you know, in the Church of God back in the old days, you could tell how good a service you had the week before because the bobby pins were in the floor. You know, and I've seen some of those sisters, they had PhDs, Pentecostal hairdos. Their hair would be all up to here and their sleeves would be down to here and their dress would be down to here and their tongue would wag all the way down to here. And I've had more than one tongue lashing in the back by there. We heard you took your kids to the circus. Yeah, I did. And they go, what would you do if the rapture took place while you were in the circus? I said, I would go through the big top. Yeah. You know, or You know, stuff like that. They were just, I mean, sometimes they would get, they were trying so hard to be holy that they actually legislated you beyond holiness. Same thing the Pharisees did. So the Pharisees took those laws that God gave and added 10,000 more. If God said, don't go up on this mountain, don't fall off the edge of the mountain because you might get hurt, they kept each one coming, we can do better than that. Before long, you couldn't even get to the mountain. It was against the law because they just kept adding. Okay, so again, why is it important that God had a holy people? Y'all give up. Go ahead. Okay, you're close. Right, but why is it necessary? Right, but before that, I mean, why was the ultimate purpose? And you're giving good stuff. That's good stuff. But I'm looking for, don't you hate it when you go to school like that? I had a 2-hour physics test Sunday night during the Super Bowl. Yeah, I bombed out worse than Atlanta, but I thought I actually made 100. I thought I at least had a 95, and I won't tell you how low I can go, but it was the lowest I've ever gone. And so it was a little aggravating. And I weren't really watching the Super Bowl, but I just kept hearing them go, and there's another touchdown. And so I'd look up, but I had to hear Bethany. She was screaming, oh! And I said, calm down, Bethany. Nobody's living or dying. Calm down. I'm taking the test. But then they said, well, he can't come back. Nobody's ever come back. They've only come back from a 10-point deficit in the Super Bowl, not a 14-point. I said, they've never had Tom Brady in there. Okay, I know. But here's the difference. You had young and strong against older, experienced with tenacity. He wouldn't give up. Okay? And so that defense was wore out trying to keep up with the Patriot offense. And so by the time it was there, they'd already got him. Okay, I just thought it was awesome. I didn't care who won. I mean, I didn't have a pony in the race. I didn't care who won. Both of them would have been made history. Either one of them would have made history. I just wanted to see somebody come back. That's what I wanted to see. I wanted to see that comeback. And so if it had been Atlanta coming back, I'd have said, check it out. You know. Yeah. Well, right at the end. At the end. And then, well, what I was going to tell you is he gave me, and we gave us all an extra point essay. And so last night I spent hours working on an extra points essay. And of course, it had to do with the folds of the earth and how, as a matter of fact, this part here was earth science, how to do with the folds of the earth and this, that. And he said, why were mountains created? What benefit did the mountains help man? And so I went through and I was trying to go through some stuff and I was doing research. And I thought, I'm going to be awesome with this. Since I messed up on my test, I'm going to give him more information than he asked for. And he said, you really done good until you got to that place where you gave me more information than I needed because I don't agree with that information. And so instead of 100 on my extra points, I got an 83. And I said, what do you want? So now I can feel your pain when I'm asking y'all, tell me, and y'all going, what do you want? I'm going to tell you what I want. The reason Abraham had to come out from among them and be a holy people, why Israel was a holy people, you're right, all that stuff is right. Everything y'all said was right. But because in order for him to bring a deliverer, the deliverer would have to be a holy man. It would have to be pure. And so for him to be a pure man, coming from the tribe of Israel, from the tribe of Judah, it had to be from pure tribe of Judah. So again, Judah means praise. And so in order for that to happen, there's 12 tribes of Israel. Judah was the one that was prophesied would be the one that sent forth the deliverer from judgment. So he had to have a holy people so they could bring forth a pure man from the tribe of Judah. And so that was Jesus. Okay. And if they hadn't messed up along the way, just like Adam and Eve, they hadn't messed up along the way, Joseph would have been king. But instead, he was a carpenter. Wow. That's powerful. Joseph would have been king, but instead they messed up, so Joseph was a carpenter. Think about what I mean, the only thing about now, look back and say, well, Dad, if you'd done it right, man, I could be a millionaire now. So I could be driving a Porsche. No, don't look back at your dad and mom and your granddads. Just know that from here forward, what you do affects more people than you imagine. Right. He wanted him to be a lowly man. Right, right. So again, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, and visitation at one. People won't leave me alone. I'm trying to preach. I got my phone up here, and everybody, all my family's decided now they want to find out about the funeral. But I just wrote it down so they would quit calling me. Okay. So there's Abraham. Now, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. But again, he still was not always that obedient. Why? Because he decided he was going to have that young and on his own. And so they took an Egyptian maid, Hagar, Sarah, because she was barren, gave Hagar, because she said, she reasoned it out. The reason was, well, since I can't have a baby, but anything that's my slave is my property, so I'll give you Hagar, and when you have Ishmael, then that'll be the heir. That's not what God said. That was an heir of the flesh. That was a birth of the flesh. Everybody in here has got some Ishmaels. God told us he was going to do something, and we tried to do it on our own. And so I got a bunch of little Ishmaels running around here. And I'm not talking about real people. I'm talking about works of my flesh. I know I'm the only one. None of y'all have ever tried to work it out yourself. Okay. So, and again, I did that one day, one Sunday, told you about terrorism and how Ishmael, that's where the terrorists come from. And when the reason that he had to be kicked out of the house is because he was picking on Isaac, and that word pick or making fun of literally meant in the Hebrew to terrorize. He was terrorizing him, and so he had to get out. Sarah said, get him out of here. But he's still been terrorizing him up to right now. Okay? So now, Abraham. Now, Paul. Paul was on the road to judgment, didn't even know it. He thought he was doing God a favor. I know some people right now, not in here and not in the rain of my voice. I know some people right here now, not here. I know some people now that think they're doing God a favor whenever they speak. None of y'all, so don't look at each other and say, is he talking about you? No, Larry, I'm not talking about you and Curly. I mean, Curly and Larry, no, I'm not talking about y'all either. Okay. And I know Mo better. What I was going to say is Paul thought he was doing, he was sincere, but he was sincerely wrong. He was so full of religion, and religion kills. So not only did God put him on the right road, but he also, just like with Abraham, God was going to use him to raise up the deliverer. God was going to use Paul to lead the way to show people about the deliverer. And your Bible right now, two-thirds of the New Testament was written by Paul. Right? So Paul, he said, he fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, the one you're persecuting. Wait a minute. He's going after the church. I want you to think about this. Strong. Be careful. That's why David said, I'm not going to touch God's anointed. Because if you're not careful, when you attack people, especially other Christians, you got to be careful. Because he said, you're not attacking the other Christians. You're attacking me through those Christians. Wow. So yes, you got to be careful. And I think about that sometimes. I'm going, Lord, what was I thinking? You know, what in the world was going on in my mind when I did that? And then the Lord always say, nothing. Nothing was going on in your mind. That's the problem. You weren't thinking. So So he says, now get up and go into the city and you'll be told what you must do. And then finally there's John. John, the ultimate in judgment, is a 7 years of tribulation. Now remember, Revelation means the apocalypse. That's what a revelation in Greek is, apocalypse. Apocalypse does not mean the bad thing. Everybody thinks apocalypse means the bad thing. Here's what apocalypse means. Totally, 100%, to unveil, to reveal. To reveal. Revelation. It does not mean bad stuff. It means revelation. So, the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's unveiling what's going to happen in the last days. We got all these movies out about the apocalypse. And, you know, one of my favorite war movies back in the day was Apocalypse Now. You know, way on back in the day. But you know what? Apocalypse means to unveil. And the Apocrypha is the hidden books of the Bible that the Catholics still use. But that's the books in between the Old Testament and New Testament. And some from the Old Testament, and even there's some other hidden books, but it's called the Apocrypha. Not the Apocalypse. Apocalypse means the unveiling or the revelation. Apocrypha means to hide or to hide from. So that's the two different things. But he says, a revealing of Jesus, the Messiah, God gave to make plain to his servants what is about to happen. And he published it and delivered it by an angel to his servant John. He just said, hold on, I'm going to unveil what's coming. And then John comes up here and tells all this stuff. You're going, what in the world, a dragon and serpents and all this stuff. Well, you know what? Again, if these guys, all they knew was a horse and a chariot and a wagon, and all of a sudden God starts revealing helicopters and atomic bombs and cruise missiles. And so he says, tell everybody what you see. Huh? And so when he says, see chariots going from mountaintop to mountaintop to mountaintop. Hey, that's chance. And you see the scorpions with stingers in their tail coming down. That's helicopters. And when you see the scroll roll up like a window shade, that's an atomic bomb. And so when you look at all the apocalyptic scripture, still called apocalyptic scripture, when you look in Daniel, when you look in Revelation, look in Ezekiel, look at some of the minor prophets, and in the book of Peter and some other places, you will see some of these things explained or called out, and you're going, wow, that's got to be weird. And like the sun turning to blood. Okay, the sun and the moon's not going to turn to blood. What's going to actually happen is the earth's going to be engulfed in smoke. And so you're going to look at the moon, it's going to look like blood. But it's going to be the smoke from the plagues that kill a third of the earth. And then more, that's atomic stuff. I mean, this is, and you know now, if they wanted to, they can, I haven't forgot you. Larry, I'll be right back to you. They can go in here right now. Our government can come in here right now. If they chose to, and I know they wouldn't. I pray they wouldn't. They could come in here in Edward. They can come in here in Beaufort County. They can drop a bomb and not destroy anything standing but us. And then they can come in and take over, occupy all the buildings. And we're gone. The Bible says, talks about plagues where the eyeballs dry up in the socket, the mouth, the tongue dries up in the socket. At Hiroshima, they looked, and when the bomb landed, when the atomic bomb landed, there were some people that never knew what hit them because they were instantly vaporized. But you see there, you can see their imprints on the wall. People at 9/11 in those towers, some of those people they never found because they were vaporized in that jet fuel. And so the same way, this stuff's coming up. And so when you hear them talk about the plague and talk about this stuff, that's some heavy-duty stuff coming. But these guys didn't know anything. But it turned out good Because somebody said, well, they just wrote all those down so that they wouldn't know what they were talking about. Other people, you know what? They wrote them down because they didn't know what they were talking about. Go ahead, Larry. You need to start it with, whoop, 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 whoop. And the tsunamis, and that nuclear plant in Japan, and the tsunamis. That was silkworm. That was silkworm. Yes. It is some powerful stuff. And that can let you know that something like that will happen again. And like, and if you touch a frog, you touch a toad frog on top of his head, you get a wart. I had to do some mo there. Go ahead. All right. Anybody got any? Y'all got any questions, comments? Yeah, I've heard all kinds of stuff like that. Yeah. All right. Next week, we're going to do part two of communication. But again, this is some interesting, I mean, absolutely interesting stuff. It just blows me away. It boggles my mind. And again, the stuff that God has already said is coming. And even when they can even take the Bible code and they put it in a computer and they can pull out certain names and, you know, even however they do it, check every third letter or whatever, and they pull out names of presidents and conquerors and being shot. But I can tell you, I'm going to tell you, you're going to know who the Antichrist is going to be, because soon, I believe it's very soon. We might know this part before the rapture. This happens. Get ready. We're getting ready to leave this place. It's one of the leaders is going to be shot in the head. It's going to be an assassination. And he's going to survive. Or come back. He's going to come back. And when he gets, and when this happens, okay? And I don't know who that is. We got all kinds of, you know, all kinds of speculations. But one thing I'm really kind of upset about, and I'm not trying to say he is the Antichrist. I'm just saying in general, one thing I'm upset about is most presidents stay pretty neutral with the new guy in office. And within a matter of days, Barack Obama started criticizing the stuff Trump was doing. Immediately said, I'm going to say something if I think it's going to hurt the country. Well, so I'm just saying is, and I'm not saying either one of those. I'm not saying either one of those are. I'm just saying is, we live in a very crazy time. Mm-hmm. No, because the media is biased. Yeah, the media is liberal. Well, you got to look at this thing. Yeah, they got to look at this. Yeah, but they wanted a politician in there. They got a businessman. He's already done more since he's been in there than most presidents did in their first 4 years. I mean, like bam, 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 and he's keeping all the promises that people put him in there for, and he's not afraid to do it, and he's not afraid of the repercussions. But now the liberal media doesn't know how to handle him, so what they do is they stir. They do what they always do best. They stir. And they're stirring it, stirring it, stirring it. But you know what? Let them keep on stirring it because the man's doing what he said he was going to do. That's what they put him in there for. It's the first elected official I've seen that has done this much already. He done more before he was put in office as he was president-elect. Is he? Going to fallen soldiers and beat them at the, yeah. Yeah. Nobody says all that, though. Mm-mm. He's not a politician. That's right. Are we still on? Of course. I was going to. Oh, yeah. Well, let's pray. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. I thank you for your word, Lord. It's so powerful, so rich. I thank you, Lord, that even tonight we got a chance to see you in all your glory with judgment. I ask you right now, Lord, to minister mighty to us and through us, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. There you go. I was going to tell you is they were asking.